There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hope this is the right track. It is. Okay, here we go.
Summer drinking, endless rosé.
How are these fuckers not all in AA?
Pretty people with booming careers.
Lover boy, enough to last 7 years.
Hampton's clubs don't activate hubs. India, oh, the summer house. Oh, well, oh, well,
sing
oh,
it
well.
With us.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Will they take Hannah's calls?
Tell me more, tell me more.
Can we see Carl's three balls?
Shoo-bop-bop, 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 shoo-bop-bop.
Hey, Linz, your boob's out again. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, just another day with Lindsay.
Do you know how many times that happens over the summer? And that's why I love her so much. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, my boob's out.
Y'all, yeah, I'm telling you, if I spent a summer with Poodle the Hamptons, I would see his balls a lot because I know from being his roommate.
If I was female.
I saw some of Poodle's monkey brains.
If I was female, my boob would slip out all the time. I guarantee
all the time.
You. It would be a joke with all my friends. I would want to wear tight things and my boob would just pop out. My boobs would have a mind of their own.
Yeah. I mean, how many times
they would just call me Poppy.
They call you Poppy. How many times have you showed your nipple on intimate portraits already?
Countless. Countless.
Countless.
I don't know.
Countless.
Yep. Yep. Yo, this is Summer House.
Summer House, season 6, episode 6, Birthday Hex.
Birthday Hex. Birthday Hex. A birthday hex. This is weird because there was no birthday spell. Am I crazy?
There was not. There was, I want to say this. I mean, this is kind of jumping into my first thing, but I'll save it because I want to remind people before we jump in. Let's see, this episode airs on Wednesday. So if you're listening to this,
does it?
We want,
maybe it does. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to put
I can't remember.
or late Wednesday, because I'm going to put Darcy and Stacey up tonight. So, y'all, we want to remind you, speaking of Darcy and Stacey, be sure to check out our interview with Darcy and Stacey. It dropped on today at 11:11.
Queens of the world.
We had a ball. We'll talk about some teasers and things about it in our Darcy and Stacey podcast we're going to do after this. But it was
it was surreal to have them, to us singing their song to them and them singing it back and them it not being weird. And
no, I really,
they were,
I don't,
so easy to interview, actually.
I don't know if we got it on video, but I have to say, y'all, me putting on the Darcy wig in front of Darcy was one of the highlights of my life.
They clapped at
they
one
clapped.
Point.
They loved it. Yeah, it was just a joy. So we had a great time. There's some tea. So you want to be able to, you want to listen to check that out. And if you want to watch the video, that's on the $15 tier of our Patreon, because that's the only Patreon supports video.
It's the only way we can do it for video, and Supercast is a support video.
Exactly. So be sure to check that out. And that's all I want to say. Go to our Linktree links. You can see our live shows. We're coming to Los Angeles on February 27th at the Regent. We're excited.
I'm working on our opening number today. Get ready.
It better not be a medley.
I also promise nothing.
I know you're amused, but you have to include me in this. If I don't like the song, I will veto it. I am at 50%.
Well, you're not in Los Angeles right now, bitch, so I can do what I want.
Will, I'll change it. So anyway, well, y'all, we're
that's fine. I'll just perform by myself.
I will sit in the audience and drink and watch you and not applaud. That's the Mar in me. I'll just watch you do it. Y'all.
And I'd love that.
We're very excited to do that. It's going to be, so be sure to get your tickets on our Linktree link. Portland.
We have guests for that live show. It's our first live show with guests. We have Kimberly and Katie from A Date with Dateline joining us that we're going to talk 90 Day for sure.
Yes.
And I think we're also going to talk some Date for Dateline stuff and a little true crime, a little gay true crime.
And we'll a little bit of Love is Blind, because the finale will have aired of Love is Blind.
That's right. Well, I don't know if that's with them, but we will be talking about
that. We're going to talk about Love is Blind, so we're going to have to.
Whether
so,
people like it or not.
We're very excited.
We're going to hold you hostage in that theater to talk about the ending of Love is Blind.
Love is Blind is maybe the best thing that's aired, not just this year, but of it is it. I my love of pig royalty is rivaled by Love is Blind.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, they're very different shows.
Barely edges it out for me.
But like, oh, like pig royalty, cheer, this Love is
we don't
Blind.
Do anyway, cheer.
I know, but I love that. I love that show. So,
ever since, are you watching this season?
Yes, they address it. It's captivating.
I don't know.
All right, everybody.
I think I would have pulled up stakes at that point.
Oh no, I think you would. Oh well, yeah, you would respect Monica. All right, everybody.
No, I'm sure. I think I was out of the country when it was airing.
You kind of are her. All right, everybody. Let's talk about Lindsay's boobs and birthday.
I'm not looking for any Johnny Come Lately shows.
Yeah. I'm going to start off and say, I mean,
what's your first teabag?
Yeah, my first kind of thing is, I just think this is the lamest 30th birthday party ever.
Oh, you mean the one that this is, you mean the next?
Just Amanda, the first night's kind of fun, but like you're having a birthday party. People are leaving early because they leave your party. And then the next day, like you have this party. And then people are going out and you're sitting at home in the bed in your loveless relationship eating Cheez-Its.
Can I also say this is what happens when none of your friends really like you?
Yeah, I think
that's
what it feels like. Like we're not, because I do feel like Paige.
I'm kind of saying that. I'm kind of saying that she became a friend by association. And yes, she stands up for everyone. But she really doesn't. She's kind of like a mascot for the house.
Yeah.
Amanda is, mm-hmm. but is yes, she's their friend because she stands up for them. And it's interesting. It's how my head works for house alliances, because obviously it's the kind of older group of Carl, Lindsay, Kyle, Danielle, forever. It's the elder statesmen. And Paige has Sierra now, and it's kind of like, what happens with Amanda? She's going to, the older people are going to accept her. They really don't like her. Lindsay doesn't really like her. It's like, no wonder no one really enjoyed her birthday.
because really, y'all, the only reason Amanda is there is to give Kyle something to do.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Amanda.
And I like Amanda. I like Amanda.
I think I said this. I do too, but I think I said this a while back, or maybe I didn't say it on the podcast, or I was talking to someone. Amanda's kind of like a sentient college hoodie, always wearing something kind of.
Yeah, yes.
Kind of like dowdy, walking around with her hair and like an updo. She's just a frumpy college hoodie. But when she dresses up, it's a different thing. But I'm not saying you have to dress up, but she just always looks like a wadded up hoodie to me.
She does look like a wadded up hoodie that's late for science lab. She totally does. And the thing is, I think too, it's just, y'all, it is so clearly obvious that she is unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
She's miserable.
She's miserable.
She's
and
so
is he.
Miserable.
That's the
and
other
so
thing.
Is he, y'all. This marriage isn't going to work out.
I think we predicted it's going to be a starter marriage for her. I don't think he will get married again.
They're going to get divorced in at least 7 years. Maybe
I say sooner.
Yeah.
Five tops. No, I'm...
The only thing I worry is I think they're going to have it.
Three or four.
Well, I think they're going to have a kid.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I think Amanda thinks that they're going to have a child and it's going to get better. They did just adopt two dogs in real life, y'all.
Yeah.
So you should know they were fostering two dogs and they adopted them. But it's like... just seeing Amanda, how much she loves these dogs, it's clear she's not getting that from Kyle at all.
No. In fact, he says later on, and I think this is not really true, but it's you get to see a little bit of what's inside his head. I know you need a dog because I don't give you everything you need.
Him? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't give you... And the way he said that, y'all, there wasn't just, you just kind of said that like, I know you need a dog because I can't give you everything. And
no, but he said it was so accusatory and shaming.
It was awful. It was a lot of venom. It was awful. Yeah. Awful.
But he was saying
he's jealous of a dog.
He was saying it in a way that to her, in her mind, the way, because she's so ultra sensitive to his needs is, oh, I should support him in that.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be the undoing of this relationship is
one day she's going to finally have it as someone who got walked on by people. One day someone's going to give her a cutoff t-shirt and a hat as a thank you gift for a wedding.
That was it. That was it for you.
That was it for me. And she's going to be done with this.
The thing is, I don't know if she has any... if she has any good enough friends who would completely support her in that way. Because this is why it was a terrible birthday party, because I'll say this again. None of them they tolerate her. They enjoy her company. They don't really like her.
I think they like her more without Kyle. Because, you know, actually Paige and Hannah, when we did a crossover with Giggly Squad, they kind of said that before we started recording. They kind of talked about how they really like... they both talked good about Amanda.
You say that until someone doesn't have Kyle around, and you're like, we don't really like her anyway.
Yeah, possibly.
But I don't know. She's... there's just always this look of a watered-up hoodie in a corner.
Yeah. What's your teabag?
My first teabag is when Andy... after they've been laying in the bed with Paige, and Alex comes in there with Sierra after kissing her. And Alex said, Andy said, I would like to find myself on the bed with the four of us together again. And my head went somewhere because Andy is always thinking about foursomes, y'all.
He is. And he does look particularly gorgeous this
episode. I will say he's so hot. And I need to say this. There's been a whole thing about why isn't Paige just date Andrea, blah, blah, blah. He's right there. Y'all, that's never going to happen. But people who see a future for them, you're not living in reality. The only way you would ever lock Andrea down is to tell him, we need to lock down. You have to be my boyfriend, because that's the only way it's going to work with him. But she's not going to do that.
But he's actually saying, I want to push back on that a little bit, because in this episode, are you saying what he is saying is not what he wants? Because he is saying, I want to settle down. I want to be a one person.
That's all lip service. I'm saying that's what he thinks he wants. But if Craig or if Paige said that, it would be a different reality.
After watching this episode, there was a part of me that thought, that was one of my teabags of thought, not necessarily should she be with Andy, but who's the better boyfriend for Paige? Is it Craig?
Here's why.
Is it Andy?
Andy is all gestures. It's all time, all gifts. It's all courtship in a way. And that is all good, But I don't think Paige loves all that on a superficial level. She can't do that on a larger level.
No, it's Paige has a little bit of what a lot of us do. Paige needs, I think it would be too much with Andy. I think
she needs banter. She needs give and take of banter like she has with Craig.
I think Andy's almost too sweet for her. And I think that would, because he's been very affectionate and kind of really forthcoming for her. And I don't think, she wants that.
That's all fake.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't know if it's all totally fake. Like he has surprised me. I mean, as Danielle said at the dinner when she took a shot and she said, or Lindsay, was it Lindsay that said you're all ass, but actually there's a real hot heart under there?
No, there is a heart underneath there. But
I think I don't think Paige wants that even. Even if
I agree, but I promise you.
She needs someone who kind of treats her a little bit like they don't need her.
How much time have you spent with Italian guys?
No, you've spent more, but I'm comparing but, him no, to I'm, Craig.
I promise you.
Oh, you fucked a lot more Italian guys than I have.
It's not even that. It's not that they're bad. That's what I'm saying. There's a level of romanticism that goes into it that is just what they need to do to be a man in the world.
Yes.
And all women fall for that on a surface level. But it's not that I think he's a bad guy. There's just, you would need to physically lock him down to be your boyfriend. And Paige is not going to do that.
No.
That's what I'm saying. That's why people who saying she should just be with Andy, she's never going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's not an option. Stop thinking it. It is not in this world.
I think people are comparing it to, I think if it was just him, because even I, when I watch this, we're all comparing it, him versus Craig.
Right.
I don't, even though I
but
do
we
love
think about her, we have to think about her in the situation.
I know. I'm saying it would be different if it was just Andy and there was no Craig.
Right.
I think it's just because, let's be honest, especially the way he's been acting, I don't think Craig is a winner of a boyfriend.
He's not even been very I'm good to her.
Even though I'm very happy, in a way, I'm happy for them. But also, Craig is, he's just going to, like we saw what Craig does when he gets upset.
But
and a lot of people don't like that now.
I totally agree with you, but I'm living in the real world here. Paige and Craig are much more compatible because Craig is a relationship person.
Yes.
Andy is not. You would have to. Now, if you told him, we're going to be in a relationship, I'm so in love with you, I can see everything. If Paige is also barely a relationship person.
Yeah, I don't think she's a relationship person.
And so it's just like, I'm saying that it's not even, those aren't comparable. Comparing Andy to Craig, they live in different realities.
I agree, but it is because that's what the show is set up for us to think about.
I agree.
So that's
an unfair comparison.
So I think it would be a very different conversation if Craig was just not even in the picture.
I agree. I think he would, you know what would happen if Craig was never in the conversation? Andy would continue to ignore her.
I think so too.
In the city. He would be flirting with her.
I think so too. Yeah, I agree.
That's the brutality. So y'all, Andy Paige stands. I'm sorry. I think I want you to take a deep swig of Prosecco.
I'm kind of not any stan at this. I was really kind of excited about this Paige Craig thing, but he's being such a dick to her. I
agree.
It's reminded me how selfish Craig can be. And it's just brought me Craig and Naomi flashbacks. And I'm like, oh, no, Paige.
No, I totally agree. Like, but real world, they are much more alike than she and Andrea.
Yeah, but I'm taking him out of the equation now and saying I still don't like them together with her and Craig.
Yeah, I can say that. I don't.
Yeah, I'm not for it.
I'm just thinking completely of compatibility places. Yeah. What's your next one?
My next one is, this isn't a big one, but it's just, y'all, this is a PSK. Maya putting on her computer on her bed and sleeping on the bed the entire night on her comforter. That is horrible for her computer. Yes, that can start a fire, y'all. Your computer has to sit on a hard, flat surface so the fans can breathe. Maya, if you're listening, you're going to destroy your MacBook. Get a lap desk, Maya. Get a lap desk and just set a lap desk on your computer, on your bed. Please. People
come to our show for reasonable technology hints.
Do you know how much I've had to train Poodle to set his computer on a hard surface?
I still don't give a shit.
Yeah, and then your computer went to shit. And
you should see what happens when you're not here.
And that's when you learned. Again, as I've told Poodle learns when he has to, not when he needs to.
I'm like Paige in that way. We learn when we have to.
You learn when you have to. That's very, very true. That's a short, but that was it. It just that really, and they kept showing her with the fucking computer on her bed, and it was driving me crazy.
Can we talk about just the fact? My next one is that Kyle still doesn't have a gift for Amanda. Now, I think this is ginned up. It feels that way to me.
I'm sorry.
The way they keep talking about it, that's what I'm saying.
No one can be, I mean, we're going to talk about it as if it was real, y'all, because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
But I cannot believe that someone is that, and if it's true, and Kyle, you're listening, you're the fucking stupidest person in the world for not getting your girlfriend a 30th birthday gift.
And I think it's ridiculous. A symptom of a larger problem of how long has it been since you got me a gift and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's maybe gifts aren't her love language
or anything like that. No,
but you should.
Give a fuck about
your
love
language. You should give her a 30th birthday gift. That goes
without saying. What's happening in their relationship? Honestly, if I had a boyfriend who said, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't get you a 30th birthday gift because I was too paralyzed about what to give you, I would say, okay, bye. I would fucking break up with them and find a boyfriend who appreciates me.
Wow. Drawing the line in the sand. All right. No, I'm with you.
Feels neglectful and almost borderline. And neglect, honestly, y'all, is a form of control and abuse. And this is neglect. It is. Really bothered me.
But here's the thing. He has made her be accustomed to not getting anything. So you understand how easy it is for him to in that chain. I agree, it's horrible. But I'm saying why it's not surprising. You say you would leave. However, if you're in Amanda's situation, you've been together for 4 years.
She's in the circle of this neglect. And so she has been beat down. This woman is begging for a dog so she can feel like someone needs her.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying to not just immediately say I would leave because you guys, no one knows what you would do.
No one knows what you do. But I'm saying that in this case, where I would hope she would. As you can tell, sorry, I got triggered by it because you know I think because I'm a little y'all. I believe in love language, and I get that. And I think love language
it's overly analyzed in this society we live in.
Well, it's actually I'm sorry. I'm gonna get on a Maddie soapbox about this. Sorry. I guess it's gonna be a long show. The problem with love languages, y'all, is that they were
extremely reductive.
They were meant to be used to show someone how you appreciate, give, accept love. They were never meant to be used as an excuse for not compromising and doing something because that's just simply not your love language.
Yeah, that's very true.
And that's what they become is this scarlet letter of, well, I don't do that because giving gifts is not my love language. Fuck you. When you're in a relationship for 7 years, you compromise in the relationship because you know that Kyle does know that is her love language.
Right.
Everybody's doing this in reality shows, and it's like been
in a different way. It is.
Who am I? Am I Jake?
I know you are. You are being like me today. I'm being much like you right now.
I'm really pissed off.
But I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of people use love languages or discussion about love languages to kind of make unnecessary demands on their partner.
No, that's what I was about. They are weaponizing their love language to hurt their partner.
Yep. It is kind of that.
And that is what is happening with love language.
So now that you co-opted my teabag, I'll keep going.
So keep on. Welcome to my world when Poodle gets on a soapbox. I do feel powerful. Maybe I should do this more like you do.
Don't really like it. But y'all, you know she does say, I want a dog. And my favorite moment is when a dog walks by and she's like, is that my gift? And it's just everyone at home just dies. Kyle goes, I know this. And she's like, oh my God, that person's walking off of my gift. It's just,
what you gonna do?
She is a very funny person. I just think she is so stuck in this cycle with Kyle. She doesn't even know who she is anymore, y'all.
No, y'all. Free this woman.
Free Amanda. Free this sentient hoodie.
Hashtag free. Get Paige. They all didn't want her to be. As we've said, y'all, that's the reason Hannah's off the show, because Hannah spoke the truth about the relationship.
No, it's Kyle true. Who knew we'd be talking about Hannah being right?
Hannah Woo. Was right. Would send her the pillow. Y'all, we're going to take a commercial break and I'm going to calm the fuck down. And then when we come back, we'll talk about kind of some really shocking moments in this episode. Poodle, I got to tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in Me Undies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with Me Undies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, Me Undies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And Me Undies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, Me Undies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of Me Undies? It's on Me Undies. Cough.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at Me Undies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. Me Undies, comfort from the outside in. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
After all of that, I want to say one thing about this season. Mm-hmm. This is episode 6, so you guys were kind of halfway through the season, maybe a little more than halfway. Depends on, usually they do.
Halfway there.
What?
I was singing, oh, we're halfway there.
Yeah, but why would you sing it so high? Like it's a.
I don't know.
What's wrong with you tonight?
That's too high.
Yeah, thank you. But you've waylaid me. But I feel like with this episode, we realized that, like, the dynamic that we had before is just, it's not the same power players. And it's weird. I find myself saying, they have an episode where they don't even know what to talk about. That's this episode. It's post Amanda's birthday party. And yes, Amanda and Kyle have a storyline. No one else does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. And that's why we're going to talk about what happens with Maya later. And
it's very true, because all the drama, except for Amanda and Kyle, all the drama coming between the house members is only with people that are coming to visit the house.
Yes. Danielle's
Danielle's is with Robert. Lindsay's is with some guy named Matt who didn't show up to a date.
Textbook Hub House.
Textbook Hub House. And then it's Austin and Craig. It's these people that aren't even in the summer house that we keep hearing about.
Yep. And to me,
that's true. Yeah,
that's why we've hit a weird place where either we're coupled up or some people have clicked off and become friends. And then the others are the new people who really haven't established themselves yet. So we're having other storylines, which we're going to get into that. But
I, you know what? I think that the best thing, and you're going to be angry when I say this because you love somebody so much, and I do too. But the best thing for Summer House is for Kyle, Amanda, and Carl to go move on.
I completely agree. 100%.
Okay. Carl won't be on there with his shapely legs.
Oh, he's so hot. I know this. I may be the last person who doesn't buy their relationship. I know they've just posted about going to
Mexico
for Valentine's Day. I may be the last person who
I don't know. I'm gonna. I want to, but I just don't buy it. I love love. I want to believe.
I don't know. I mean,
what if she gets pregnant? Will you believe it, or do you think that'll be a fake baby?
It's not going to be Christine Quinn style. when she births the baby and she's looking like she's gotten snatched in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No, but I want to talk about, let's do one theater that we really wanted to do and then get into the meat of this episode.
Okay.
Y'all, we want to do, and then we want to talk about Maya.
We're going to talk about the beach. Y'all, picture it. We can't sing because we're remote, but goat. Poodle's in LA and I'm in Oklahoma. We are on a beach. We're all sitting around under an umbrella. We're a little sun drunk, and we're also a little actually drunk.
Yeah, we're a little drunk on tequila. Tequila ice pops.
Yeah. And so,
otter pops.
Yes, exactly. And Poodle's going to be playing the role of Lindsay. I'm going to be playing the role
I would fight you to the death if you ever wanted to play it.
Well, you're the one that your tits do fall out. So, so it's life entertaining art, and I'm just gonna play everybody else. I guess that's my brand.
Art.
That's art. And action.
Hey, Maya, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just kind of been worried about myself, not really going out or anything like that.
You gotta come out with us. Yeah. Are you single?
Yeah, I am single. You know, it's kind of hard for me to put myself out there. I don't know if I just, you know, I don't meet people well.
I've literally fucked 7 guys on this beach. We're going to get you laid.
Really?
Like a bartender.
Really?
I think I fucked that hermit crab over there. He's kind of cute.
Well, you know, I'm not into crabs.
Think he's single?
No, I don't. I don't know. Hey, Lindsay, this is Alex. Why do you have that belt on your swimsuit?
Purely for fashion. So I can get snatched. So I look good. It's like,
I don't
like,
get
sucks
it.
Sucks me in right here. Of course you don't get it.
I don't get it. Is it like,
who are helping, you?
Is it helping you burn calories or something like that? Or?
Oh my God. I have to pee. Get away.
And save.
We covered 4 areas very quickly.
I love her so much.
She just wasn't having it with Alex either.
Okay, so, and then kind of like the big kind of what we can't believe this happened on Summer House, but then Maya actually like sits down with the house and they have this conversation that we never expected to see on the show.
It did feel like all of a sudden we're having an in-depth conversation about race on Just the 10 of Us, where it's normally about drinking, and it's not that this wasn't valuable and it wasn't really impactful and it wasn't kind of a lovely moment. I was just really shocked to see this on Summer House.
I was shocked. As I think as Ryan Bailey said, he says, I'm like, I can't believe that they had this great conversation about race on fucking Summer House.
Yeah, it did feel like your frat brothers all of a sudden sitting around talking about vulnerability.
And that's when you stop dating them?
Connection.
That's when you break up?
Yeah, it was weird. And it was, and I will say, it was kind of weird to see Kyle and Luke and everybody just like listening and just not listening, screaming at beer soaked epithets at people.
Because usually when someone voices their opinion, especially a woman, to Kyle, he yells at them and yells them down. So that was,
and he was kind of the best one of the rest of them talking.
He was great.
Let's talk about this and kind of getting into it. We had seen little moments throughout the episode of Maya. She was talking to Sierra at the beach, and she started to cry, and she feels excluded, mm-hmm. and she feels like a lot of this is replaying her adolescence of how she grew up, and like, she grew up mostly among white people, some school around white people, and she's
it's
still
like a PTSD. The whole
it's so replaying. Like
when Andrea right. called her the wrong name, it was total just
and
shocking.
And you might look back and see these are all small things, but for her, these actually meant a lot because they triggered things that have been happening for her, and it's not a small thing for her experience as a black woman in the house. I think I was kind of struck by, I was really proud how brave Sierra was just to tell everyone, okay, we need to have this conversation. Because I don't think Maya wanted to have it.
I couldn't tell if she didn't want to have it or she was just too, not scared or just it was hard for her.
I think she was scared, yeah.
That was my favorite part, honestly. It's just, as again, it's different, but as us as two, like Gabe, sometimes you just want people, when you're someone who's a minority, you just want people to be an ally to you and stand up for you and talk, and not talk for you, but help hold the space so you can do that. Yeah. And it was really kind of, Sierra started to do that. And if you notice, like Sierra couldn't say she said like racism, like, or she said,
she started crying
and she couldn't say that word. And then Maya had to say it for her. So it really, it was ended up being this beautiful kind of just friends supporting one another. And I mean, I think forever they were already, but I think Sierra and Maya now are forever bonded in the house.
Like, they are. And what's weird, because Maya came as Paige's friend.
She did.
Remember.
She did. Yeah. She came as Paige's friend, and you would think personality wise, Maya and Sierra don't seem like they would not get along, but not be like best friends. Because Maya, because y'all, we've seen like, they only showed like a couple, but like we've seen like, y'all, Michael. Maya just wants to hang out with Carl because she doesn't really want to fucking turn up and go and drink. I mean, she just wants to talk to the sober guy in the house.
I completely understand why she doesn't feel included, just completely because not just a racial aspect at all. She's very different from all of them. And
if she's watched a season of Summer House, which she has, I think you brought this up not before we started recording, but like, and I didn't see it, but you can speak to, didn't they not treat Jules well at all?
No, yeah. Wasn't a good thing for Jules. And Jules was kind of a lump on a log too, though. But but particularly people like Danielle and Lindsay were awful to Jules.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. I'm glad Danielle said that she felt excluded as well from the
conversation. Yeah, that's kind of when I was like, be quiet. She kind of got that at the end in there.
Because I saw like a thing on Reddit. People really are they're glad this conversation happened, but there have been people saying that, I hope the house learns from this because they treated Jules like shit.
Yeah, I agree. That did happen. So, you know what? I will say it is not Jules' fault that she was a bump on a log, but she never really got a chance That is part of the issue, because this group is extremely insular.
Yeah.
And when people do get in, like Sierra, she had to I think she got in at the perfect time because
Hannah was disrupting.
Yep.
Vermont, I think, helped Paige.
Oh yeah,
and Sierra a lot too.
But think about it. Like even the people in Winter House. They weren't able to penetrate the group.
Remember, we said it was like two different cast members.
It's why I think the concept of this is not about Maya saying, I'm not fitting in. It is about all the microaggressions that are happening to her that mean more to her specifically and her experience.
Yes.
Because it's very hard to penetrate this group of people.
Yeah, it is.
And Alex is not making headway either.
No, and I was shocked. I can't believe that people fucking called him Bruce Lee at the
party. That was pretty terrible.
It was
I don't know. Have you ever been to the Hamptons? I can totally see it. It's shitty.
There's the
most entitled people in the world in the Hamptons of all ages.
Yeah. Oh, I bet you just went and just said wildly inappropriate things to make white people uncomfortable.
Yep, that's exactly what I did. Wherever I go, it doesn't matter who it is. But I just want to say this was such a good conversation, especially what Sierra said last summer. She said it was really intimidating to come into this house and it was hard and Maya even says, Andy, when you call me the wrong name, it really bothered me. I know no one's at fault here. It was a mistake that you made, but I just want you to know how it makes me feel. And that's such a good distinction to make, that Maya isn't saying the little things that you did, the small things that were during the day that you might objectively think are small, that did not. None of this was almost intentional for you, but I'm telling you how those little things make me feel.
Yeah.
And so that was a great moment.
She said it's a different experience. Because I'll be honest, in watching it, like if you asked as a white person, I wouldn't have thought these were big deals
Well, and I have something to say about, I blame production for a lot of that, but I'll talk about that in a minute.
No, but as watching it, it went, that doesn't seem like, again, it doesn't seem like, I thought the whole thing with Lindsay. Okay, yeah, she didn't. But then the next day she explained why she didn't invite you, because she had people on a list. And I didn't think of this. But again, that's what I loved about this conversation, is she was just saying, this doesn't get talked about a lot. It's a different experience.
Right.
And then once she said that, I went, oh, this all makes sense, why you would feel this way.
Yeah. No, it made complete sense to me that it wasn't about what happened the last couple, it was about what happened the last couple of weeks, but it was more about her perception of what was happening, and she wanted everyone to understand that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And how it made her feel when these things happened. Exactly. I want to say it was interesting, and we talked about this before, about Luke saying, it was really hard for me too to penetrate. And even Kyle quickly said, okay, maybe it's not the same thing.
Kyle's like, well, so if it's hard for you, then I can't even imagine.
What a great pivot.
Okay.
So Luke wouldn't say, it was really hard for me as the hot model guy.
But is that what he meant? Because I know you don't want to, I know you and Luke are besties now.
We got that Soho house date.
But no, did he really mean that?
I don't think he completely understood what was going on.
I think
he was talking about that she didn't feel like she was fitting in. And he was like, do you know how hard it was for me to fit in with these people? Because I'm like brunette and the rest of them are blonde.
And I'm blonde, yeah.
And Carl's like dark haired. But that's where I think he was going. I'm not going to beat him up too much. It was a dumb thing to say. But I feel like everyone at Summer House, everyone wants to talk.
And Sierra said something that I related to. I mean, again, not the same, but an adjacent experience that I have. And I know you do too.
Yeah.
She said, when you come to this space, you feel a lot of pressure. And that is true, y'all. Like when you're even as queer people, like we walk into a space and I feel, yeah. I won't speak for other people. I feel pressure. And for me, that comes out in like perfectionism or having to be right. funny or having to be like, really like, hey girl. And all the stuff that like, I don't know how people are going to take me. So right. I thought that was a great way because Kyle doesn't, or maybe he does, but it's just a different type of pressure that they feel. So
I think she's basically saying I'm representing either all of Black America or all Black women.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm on this show as the sole Black person in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that. That's I don't understand that experience, but I can understand how she feels that way.
Yeah.
Anyway. Like I said before, it was a very a kind of a beautiful thing, a very unexpected thing to happen at it really kind of was like some type of meditation at the end of a kegger to happen.
Yes.
It was very strange.
And then they all have a group hug and they leave. But yeah.
And that's it. But I want to talk about the fact that just on a production standpoint, the only thing that was disappointing to me is they picked little things throughout this episode. And this is the fifth episode, I believe, of this season.
I think I put six, but it's
I think it is five, though. I think I was wrong about the thing. But I was just like, did everything that it almost felt like it. What I'm saying is, with editing wise and production wise, it felt like we were editing this thing backwards, like editing does.
Yes, yes.
And like we were showing.
It was episode five, by the way. It was episode five, yeah.
And it was kind of like saying, I would have loved to have seen this throughout the season. But
it was a lot of it because,
like we needed to have it in 1 to 2 days.
Because like Maya said, you know, I've had these conversations with Carl, and I went, we've only seen you once have a conversation with Carl. So like I didn't get that she had this. Because when she said, I feel like they're the only person in the house that I bond with isn't here a lot. I didn't feel that loss because we saw one conversation with you.
It was
30 seconds. And it was just, I agree with that. Just kind of like put it all in this one episode.
Part of the discrepancy between that I had with this and what happened was feeling like this was a little bit of an unearned moment. I'm using mm-hmm. a writing word. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. But when they say something is earned or it's unearned, mm-hmm. When a character hasn't had enough screen time, especially a reality show, a moment like this will feel unearned.
Is that though because, you know, is it because
it has nothing to do with what Maya was earning?
No.
It has everything to do with what production had shown for her.
Yes.
Production is doing, it's controlling all of it. I hate to tell you guys, you're all being fed, you're all being sheep. And you're all being fed the stories they want you to see. I sound like a crazy person, but
you do sound like a reality show conspiracy theorist,
which I am.
Where's your tinfoil hat?
Which I am. But I'm saying, I think that was the biggest thing for me is you're editing the whole season, so you choose this episode to say, here's the things that Maya here's the microaggressions for Maya. And let's spell them out so very clearly in editing. So all the white people who are blind to it could see it.
Yeah.
So maybe that needed to be done. I don't know. I just felt a little bit dumbed down for it, maybe.
Well, yeah. And I think just personally, like, it made it moving. And no offense to, like, but we don't know Maya. So it made it moving.
Exactly.
It made it moving when... I mean, as a person, I'm liking Maya. I just don't know her yet. And so she's like, you know, your fun neighbor's friend who comes over. You're like, oh, yeah, she's fun. Whereas Sierra, we know her. So when Sierra talked about the conversation, that's actually what really moved me. And so I hope after this, like I said, I really liked Maya. I think that she seems like I see little sparks of where she could be fun on the show. I hope that this brings her in the show more.
I mean, I just don't know. I like her. Does she seem to gel with this group of people? I mean,
she doesn't seem like, she seems more like she would be on like the old school Real World or something like that. Not in like Summer House where literally it's all about who can drink the most lover boy and to do shots.
Yeah. And who can like comfort the crying girl. Yeah. Like who's going to comfort Lindsay. Amanda?
Who can comfort Lindsay or Amanda? Yeah. Depending on who's crying.
It's interesting. And, or who can get in a really funny bit like Paige.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're not in Summer House, if you're not performing one of those roles, it's almost like Carl. If you're not performing one of those roles, Carl doesn't really fit in anymore.
He doesn't have a place to sit. So I'm telling you, he's going to be out.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Kind of like where does a person like Maya and Alex is only fitting in because he's the butt of jokes about his food or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to make people happen on this show. It's hard to make Fetch happen because these people only work in their relationships with one another. And when new people come in, it's very hard. So I don't know. I still think it was a great conversation.
No, yeah, it was. I agree with that. Sometimes, again, maybe I said this earlier, but yes, I think the show, I think Amanda, Kyle, and Carl need to not be on the next season.
Yeah.
I think they need new blood and need to kind of have a transition, but anyway.
I think Kyle will stay on this until they tell him to leave.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And then Amanda, and then his college hoodie will still be there.
Y'all, and on that note, that's the show.
That's the show.
You can go to realitygaze.com to our website. Someone's having a coughing fit. Oh, no. Oh,
sorry,
no,
y'all.
Okay, everybody. We just better
I'm
end this.
I'm almost better.
Oh. We better end this quickly. Go to realitygaze.com. You can go to our Instagram and to our Twitter. Check out our Linktree link. Come see us in Los Angeles at the Regent on February 27th. See us in Portland on March 11th, and see us in Seattle on March 12th at the Aladdin Theater. All right, everybody. How does this show end again? I never remember this one.
I know. If you're wondering in the middle of the night if your boob fell out or not on the beach, and all of us just say to yourself, whisper quietly, who's Tracy?
Who's Tracy?
And the slow part at the end. In September, they'll all go back to their Google Hangout, their Zoom, and their Slack. And even though summer came to an end, they'll continue to be best of friends
on Insta.
Summer's nuts because of these sluts. But, what are you gonna do?
That summer.